Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
940, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking about Airbnbs. And there was a situation in Florida where a party, I guess you could say, got out of control. Five people got killed. And we're just talking about whether or not it's a good or bad thing for the neighborhood. And somebody texted in earlier, I said that, you know, our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll, would you use your house, would you use it as a short-term rental? And as it stands now, 82% are saying no. And somebody texted in and said, you know, if an executive with a Fortune 500 company was coming to the Super Bowl and offered you $10,000 for the week, you would say, hell yes. And I'm not sure I would. That's a lot of money. But, you know, I just imagine somebody's cologne or perfume or something else lingering around the house and you couldn't get it out. I don't like people touching my stuff. There's another angle of this, though, as it relates to short-term rentals, and that is what the effect it has on affordable housing for people that live here. And for that, Andronica Morris joins us, Executive Director of Housing at NOLA. Got your title right? Yeah, of Housing NOLA. Yeah, I get it right. I'm sorry, Andronica.
That's okay. No problem, Tommy.
Tell me about the effect that the short-term rentals have on people that are that have a vested interest here, that live here in the city, and they're trying to find an affordable place to live.
Good morning, Tommy.
Good morning.
It's complicated, like a lot of things, unfortunately. I wish there was a straightforward answer on this. But what the studies have shown is that short-term rentals, Airbnb, the biggest effect that they have on market is how they drive the market, how they make people think that houses are worth more, the tax implications that we have for people, and they do take units offline. Now, there's also some positive impacts that can happen. People who are renting out rooms inside of their homes who are not uncomfortable with this, that's something New Orleanians have done for years, for generations, actually. It's way 50, 60 years ago, African Americans under Jim Crow laws would stay inside of people's homes because we couldn't stay in traditional hotels. And with the affordable housing crisis, with increased property taxes and insurance, some people are renting out rooms or even half of houses inside that they own personally, that they live in. And we have always had a long tradition of people coming for the Super Bowl, for Mardi Gras, for Jazz Fest, and people vacating their houses to make a little extra money. The point to all of this is that we've got to balance it, right? So it can be very problematic. It can create this false sense of value in a neighborhood. It can drive people to think, well, I can make easier money by renting out my apartment to a short-term tenant rather than the work of a long-term tenant. Mm-hmm. It can encourage people to think that, you know, I don't want to deal with a tenant, someone who might tear up my property. All the negative stereotypes that people have about renters, short-term rentals make them think that I can just get out of that racket. And I tell people all the time, if you're not ready to be a good landlord, you're not ready to be an innkeeper. Anybody's ever stayed anywhere for visiting, think about yourself and how you want to be treated. And if you're worried, if you can't treat a neighbor with the same respect, you are not going to do well treating customers with a lack of respect. But that people think that. They think it's easier, and it's not. But they pull units off the market to try and make that fast, easy money. It increases values because people will say, hey, you can buy this house for $350,000, and it's really not worth that. But you know what you can do? You can Airbnb half of it and make $1,000 a week mm-hmm. when those numbers aren't real. But at the same time, it can help some people put a little extra money in their pockets. So we've taken a position that it needs to be managed. It needs to be managed smartly. It needs to be managed consistently. And that's how it can help this affordable housing crisis. Because that's what it should be doing. That's what we should be setting it up to do, and we're not, frankly.
So when it comes to gentrification, the same people own the home, but you have people constantly from other areas, I would presume, of the country coming into these neighborhoods, albeit for a short time. I guess that's still a concern?
Yeah, I mean, that's the issue. Like, no one wants to live, not everybody wants to live in an area like the French Quarter. Some people do. Some people love living in that kind of, you know, that French frenetic pace. But not every neighborhood wants to be like that. And that's why we should be creating rules to make sure that the neighborhoods can retain their identity. What's also really interesting about this is those tourists also don't want to live in that. The reason people talk about Airbnbs and short-term rentals is because they want that neighborhood feel, mm-hmm. that local experience. So then why are we like forcing them and concentrating them in some areas? They should be spread out, right? We should be limiting them, and we should be making sure that they can't proliferate in other areas. And we also should be making sure they're not driving the same residents that these visitors say they want to be among, that we're not driving them out. And that's why you've got to balance it.
From the people that live in the neighborhoods already, and we're talking to Andranika Morris, Executive Director of Housing NOLA, about the effect that Airbnbs can have on affordable housing in New Orleans. It would bother me if I lived in one of those neighborhoods, maybe Treme, where people want to go and experience a culture, right? But they don't want to live here. They just want to experience for a weekend, kind of like, I want to be your cousin for a weekend and see how I like the Morris family. And then, okay, right. Well, that's nice. They're nice people. Now I'm going back to wherever it is I came from. To me, I would not be very welcoming of these people because they're like, well, wait a minute. You're not invested in this at all. Hopefully you'll be a good neighbor for 3 days, however long it is. But I want somebody that's got buy-in to this in terms of the neighborhood. And the other side of that, Andranika, if you could address that, is if I own a home, I'm going to make a lot more with short-term tenants than I am with long-term tenants, right?
Well, not really. Right.
When you mentioned $1,000 for a weekend, I guess what got my attention about that.
Well, that's what people, like the example you gave, somebody paying $10,000 as an executive.
Oh, there was somebody that texted that in. I got you.
Right. Oh, yeah. But that's the stereotype. That's the conventional wisdom. That's what people tell themselves. Right. So you say, oh, people charge for hotels $250 a night, and I can charge the same thing. And I've rented out two nights a week. You know, that's $500 a week, and that's $2,000 a month if you do that kind of math.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about that, right? So let's talk about the cleanup in between that.
Yep.
Because you're not cleaning out for a long-term tenant, right? You're not their maid. You're going to have to be the maid for these visitors who are coming in. You're going to have to prepare certain things to make sure that it's there. You got to have furnishing. You've got to make an investment in the property. So while some people, and again, people can do those things, and again, short-term rentals, if your property is not in the best of condition, we a lot of us live in, you know, old homes that aren't at the highest rate. Like right now, it's cool right now, right? It's 60 degrees. So how many of us are living in houses where the floor is freezing, despite the fact that it's only moderately temperate and your heater isn't working the best? Visitors don't want to hear that, so you're going to have to make an investment and upgrade that property. Renters, and not that renters should be living in substandard units, but we have varying levels of standards here in New Orleans, and not every visitor wants to live in something that is that authentic, that, you know, that connected.
A little bit too real.
It's a little too real, and so you're going to have to make some significant investments. You're going to have to manage it on a routine, regular basis. There's going to have to be security. There's going to have to be different things that you're going to pay for that will eat into those profits.
All right, so let me interrupt for a second before we run out of time. In terms of objective data that indicates, or imperial data, whatever it is, the word I'm thinking of right now because I'm rushing up, but studies that show that Airbnbs do have an effect on short-term rentals just here in New Orleans or countrywide?
So the data is conflicting with this, right?
Empirical is what I was thinking of.
Yeah, empirical data. The data is somewhat conflicting. We've been able to, with some of our partners, do research to show that there are landlords who are evicting people in favor of doing short-term rentals. But there's also people used to do that for Section 8 vouchers as well. Mm-hmm. The big problem that we have is we don't have enough affordable housing. And we don't have really good rules to prevent the kind of neighborhood disruption that causes short-term rentals. And we're not doing the smart thing, which is leveraging short-term rentals to create affordable housing. That's the smartest thing that we can do. That's what we can, because we could, if we could use taxes from short-term rentals to create affordable housing, we could balance out our neighborhoods. We could make sure that people are given the chance to stay in those same neighborhoods and that the short-term rentals are controlled for.
Using that tax money to create short-term housing, what would that look like in practice?
Long-term housing, yeah.
Long-term housing.
For example, we're putting a ballot initiative up next week, where in the next couple of weeks, where we're going to give money from short-term rentals to the tourism industry. That needs to be voted down so that money can go to affordable housing. We can do things like create soft second mortgages to help people buy. The Unity for Greater New Orleans has asked for $1.5 million for rapid rehousing funding to help first-time homeless. And we're not talking about chronically homeless, which is a really desperate need for those folks as well. But we're talking about people who get evicted, who have been foreclosed upon, and they need rapid rehousing programs because of the affordable housing crisis. That $1.5 million could come from taxes generated by short-term rentals.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. Andranika Morris, Executive Director of Housing NOLA. More when we come back. We'll also find out what Newell Norman has planned for you on this beautiful fall Wednesday. WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.